training tonight, I didn't realize, I thought our meeting was next week.
Yeah, no problem.
Call to order. 48-hour notice, opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting being held on Tuesday, October 15th, 2024, has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Ms. Check?
Here.
Mr. Dibble?
Here.
Mr. LaFredo? Mr. Milanovich? Mr. O'Reilly?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollak?
Here.
Mrs. Serena?
Here.
Josephine Pressburg?
Here.
Cassidy Murray?
Here.
Megan Leggett?
Here.
Donovan Brown?
Here.
Deborah Corum? Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote.
Okay, we're gonna start off with our student board rep report, and we have a full house here tonight. But first, three of you have to be sworn in. Joey was here at the last meeting, so I would ask the three of you to stand up.
All right, guys, welcome. I left the paper I'm gonna read you on your desk. You might wanna pick it up and follow along because it gets a little wordy. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Donovan Brown.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state, under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I state your name.
I, Donovan Brown.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations, guys. If you can, just sign the bottom of those oaths and leave them right on the desk when you leave, okay?
And as you're signing, thank you for doing this, representing your peers. So we'll start, and we'll alternate each month, so we'll start with Donovan and Megan tonight as part of, they lead the Key Club. So Donovan, if you wanna go first.
Sure thing. Do I speak into this?
Sure.
All right, for academics, Manasquan was named in one of the AP Scholars, so it's pretty good. This past week, our 9th, 10th, and 11th grade students took the PSATs. We also held a college fair for opportunities outside of high school for all students. Seniors like us have been working on college applications. It's been almost there. And then we got back to school night last week, I think, and it helped our parents connect with our teachers. Yeah, that's it for academics.
My name is Megan Ligon. I'm the Key Club president, and I'm going to be talking about the arts. So this past Saturday, during the football game, we celebrated Alumni Day, and they were treated with a performance from our high school's band and chorus. And looking ahead, we're excited about the upcoming fall play, which will feature a series of one-act plays that are student-written and directed, and this takes place on October 25th in our theater, and it's one day only.
I'm excited to share some highlights from our student life here at MHS. Recently, we had an incredible battle of the classes, which was ran by the student council, where the junior class showed up and won this battle. This really just showcased our very vibrant school spirit here at MHS. This past Saturday, the National Honor Society hosted an incredible trunk or treat event here in the back parking lot of our school, really bringing the community together in a very fun and festive way. Additionally, our Spanish Honor Society hosted a wonderful Spanish Heritage Night featuring delicious foods where everyone was treated to that celebrated our diverse cultures. Looking ahead, there will be a beach cleanup this Saturday at Manasquan Beach ran by the Environmental Club, where they are inviting everyone to meet them at Manasquan Beach to give back to our beach community. In addition, we have an open house coming up this Thursday for incoming freshmen and interested transfer students, where our welcome warriors and club members will be present to showcase the various clubs and activities we offer here at MHS. And this night will truly just highlight how amazing our school truly is. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I'm excited to make this meeting tonight. My name is Cassidy Murray. I am the Student Council Vice President, along with my President, Joey. And I'm going to be talking about our sports programs tonight. So for sports, we recently had our field hockey and our girls tennis teams win their division, which is great. I'm personally on the girls tennis team, so we're very excited about that. We're finishing up our sports seasons and looking ahead to our homecoming week, which we will have Powder Puff for all the girls of junior and senior years, which I know everyone's really excited about. And we just want to wish everyone great and good luck to all the teams in their postseason tournaments. And we also all know that Thanksgiving Day game is coming up. So good luck to the football team, the cheerleaders, and the band. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
And once again, thank you for volunteering your time and showing the leadership, you know, to be the liaison between the board and your peers. So we really appreciate what you're doing. There's some light refreshments in the back. We're going to move on with our agenda. You're welcome to stay. But if you are busy, then, you know, go do your homework or carry out the meeting tonight. So we'll see you at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Donovan, you're going to stick around. Right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
I just think the Board of Ed, the administrative team here and the community, the teachers, do a great job each month supporting all of our students and recognizing them on special occasions. Each month during the school year, we recognize students of the month and a teacher of the month for the high school, and then we celebrate a student of the month and a teacher of the month in our elementary school. How do you get to be student of the month? You're nominated by a teacher at each school, and the teachers go back and forth and they vote on it. And what criteria do they use? Usually the student serves as some sort of role model to their peers. They're academically motivated, not always the best student, but usually academically motivated. Demonstrate a lot of leadership in and out of the classroom. They're involved in extracurricular activities here at the school, and they perform school and community services. So if you want to be student of the month, this is what you have to do. So what we'll do is I'm going to call up the winner for each class, and I will describe what you're involved with at school as you're coming up, and then we'll get a picture from, get a certificate from Mrs. Pollock, and we'll take a picture if we can. Mr. Place, if you don't mind. Our freshman student of the month is Brianna Garcia. In school, Brianna is a member of the band, choir, and drama club. Outside of school, Brianna participates in Taekwondo, and is also, which I love, a volunteer with the Manasquan Elks Antlers. Could you tell everyone what the Antlers do?
So we do a lot of community service around Manasquan, and we do so many activities, and we can make so many friendships, honestly. And we do breakfasts on some months and all. That's what it comes to. But it's honestly a great type of way to participate in any community services around Manasquan.
Okay. And you're saying your favorite subject is English. But your favorite teacher is Ms. Schiller. Why Ms. Schiller?
Well, she really gives me so much motivation in singing, and it's been able to express my ways around school. And I honestly almost lost my passion for singing when coming to Manasquan High School. I honestly became a teacher.
That's awesome. All right. Another great student of the month, Brianna Garcia. Our sophomore student of the month is Christopher Martucci. Christopher is a member of the fishing club. He's a member of the key club, basketball team, Academy of Finance, and the STEM Academy. And he's in the National Science Honor Society. And you're going to be in the Math Honor Society too, right?
Can't do
okay.
Something here.
Outside of school, Christopher plays AAU basketball and enjoys recreational fishing. He helps volunteer at his former elementary school, St. Peter's. Christopher's favorite subject is math, and his favorite teacher is Senorita Rosinski, because of her class is always fun, and she's always very helpful every day. Tell us a little bit more about Ms. Rosinski, since she's not here tonight.
She's always helpful. Whenever you have any questions, she's very helpful. The subject that not a lot of people know much about is it's a language that many people speak.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Christopher Martucci. Our junior of the month is Francesca Tinka. Francesca is a member of the Key Club, Science National Honor Society, the Environmental Club. She's also president of the Italian Club. Outside of school, Francesca dances up to 10 hours each week. She also volunteers at her dance studio by helping younger dancers. Francesca's favorite subject is English. Her favorite teacher is Mr. Glenn. Why Mr. Glenn?
He's always very supportive, and he makes himself available literally anytime during the day for extra help. And he always answers his email extra fast, which is nice because I panic and I have four tests and he's always there to help.
Okay. And if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, we're always trying to support all the students and what they're trying to accomplish. You're involved with an online Italian class. Explain what you're involved with.
So because of my, I have kind of a hard schedule to pick out during the year, so I do Italian online because it doesn't fit in my schedule. So during period 8, I come to the library, and my Italian teacher, she worked at an Italian language school, and they do lessons with kids in America and other places. So she assigns me work for the week, and then I meet with her, and I do an hour lesson where we go over my homework, and she teaches me the lessons, and then she assigns me more work to do during the week.
And the teacher is not local?
No.
Where is this?
She lives in Italy, so we Zoom every week.
Okay, and what is the goal taking these courses? Because I know that you have a special goal. Your sister did it too, so.
Yeah, so it will help prepare me for the B2 test, which will allow me then to work and go to school in Italy because it assures that I speak a high enough level to be able to work and live there. So hopefully I pass.
That's pretty awesome. So congratulations, our junior student of the month. Very nice. Good thing. Finally, our senior student of the month, Donovan Brown. Any school Donovan's a member, he's got a long list here of the National Honor Society, Math Honor Society, Student Council, Science National Honor Society, Spanish Honor Society. He is also a member of the swim team. Outside of school, Donovan independently studies bass, plays in his own band, Sunday Brunch. Did you just come up with that, or?
Yeah.
Okay, it's gaining momentum.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a Manasquan lifeguard. He also plans to participate in all Shore Jazz Band again. Donovan earns volunteer hours playing clarinet in the Atlantic Wind Ensemble and participating in key club activities. Donovan's favorite subject is computer science. His favorite teacher is Mr. Lomas because his classes were fun. Why don't you tell us about Mr. Lomas, because he's here tonight. What's your name?
Mr. Lomas is very unique, in a good way. I think that when you go into this class, you think that computer science is going to be like really math-focused and like challenging, but it's not. Like, Mr. Lomas will guide you through it, he'll help you, and he'll let you do what you want to. Like, you can make whatever you want, and it's overall just fun classes.
And when Donovan was an incoming freshman, he said he wanted to study computer science. And Mr. Lomas, you have kept him on track. He hasn't wavered off that. So congratulations. Congratulations, senior student of the month. And our high school teacher of the year is Mr. Brett Lomas. Mr. Lomas, come on up. Congratulations. And you heard what Donovan said about
yes.
you. And I know you a few years now. You just do a great job with kids. And they all have interesting talents with technology. And you're kind of balancing the education part of it with the technical part of it. So describe your day a little bit.
So one of the things we try to do in the computer science classes is let students bring their outside interests into the class. And I think a good example is the end of the year projects after the AP exam last year. And Donovan's class, we had a lot of kids use, not last year, but in Donovan's class, we had kids use AI, like ChatGPT. They created their own AI generators that way they would generate like album covers or songs, and it's super interesting to see what they can do.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great things you can do with AI. It gets a bad rap sometimes.
Yeah.
But so we appreciate all you do here. Congratulations.
Thank you very
much. And if you can take a picture of Mrs. Fire.
One.
Elementary school. Our Manasquan Elementary School student of the month is Crystal Wang. In school, Crystal is a member of drama club, art club, choir, model UN. She's also a class representative for student council. Outside of school, she plays volleyball and takes art classes. She also tutors for other students. Thank you for doing that. Crystal's favorite subject is math. Her favorite teacher is Mrs. Trichetta because she provides her students with a welcoming environment for learning and curiosity. Do you mind sharing how you feel about a little further about Mrs. Trichetta?
That she's here with us. She always helps you when you're stuck on something. She grades really fast, so you get
really,
like...
She misses some of them that are wrong, or...?
No.
She's always on. Okay, she's a very special teacher here. So, our Manasquan Elementary Student of the Month. Teacher of the Month, Andrea Trichetta, selected by Crystal. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What can you tell us about Crystal as a student?
Crystal just came to Manasquan last year, and she just jumped right in and made friends and found people, and we found each other. She's an avid reader. We talk about books. She loves writing, and she challenges me to make projects more interesting. She makes me better.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
And I do grade quickly, and you have some revisions to do. Yeah.
Well, thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just ask that our district directors come up. And all of our students of the month, I know you've been waiting for Mr. Coppola's NJSLA report out. But if you have something better to do, now would be the time. Grab a cookie and enjoy your evening.
Waiting for your room, right?
Let them make their escape for the longest testing report of the year. Thanks, everybody. So tonight, we want to go over, review with you the results of our spring 2024 NJSLA testing report. This encompasses ELA, which is tested from grades 3 to 9, math, which is tested from grades 3 to 8, along with algebra 1, geometry, and algebra 2, and then science, which is tested in grades 5, 8, and 11. So basically, you're going to see a lot of numbers tonight. The state asks us to report out in various ways. What I'll do for you tonight is put some of these numbers in context for you. Our goal is to go through this. My goal is to basically give you comparative data from year to year. So for third grade, for example, third grade ELA, you'll see from 2023 to 2024. But also to provide you data vertically with how students are progressing as they move from one level to the next, and also to compare those numbers to the state average, how we're measuring up in those ways. After we present that information to you, I'll go through some of the highlights that we have in terms of the testing, and also some of the interventions and some of the plans that we have to move forward to improve our instruction on a day-to-day basis. So I first wanted to go through the ELA. This first slide is just the enrollment information. This takes you through, again, just the number of students who took the test from 2023 to 24. What you see in the far column is just the difference in terms of each grade level from one year to the next. This first slide basically is a horizontal representation, and you can see at the top for math and ELA, the tests are scored from a 1 to a 5. 1 being not yet meeting expectations, 2 being partially meeting expectations, 3 approaching expectations, and then level 4 and 5 meeting expectations and exceeding expectations. That falls into what we call the proficiency level. So that's how that's so that is scored. So what you're seeing right here is you are seeing the percentages for each grade level that that we had from 2023 to 2024. The most important column in this is to show you can see the difference from level 1 and 2 and then 4 and 5. So the column all the way to your right is the difference in percentages from 1 year to the next in terms of the grade levels and how we progressed. One of the things that I want to jump in with this first, and we're going to talk more about in more detail as we get to the last slide, but one of the numbers obviously that jumped out at us was the third grade ELA number. What you can see there is, and again, this is comparative data, the minus 25%, we dropped down an overall proficiency level. And again, I'll go through this as we go through the presentation. One of the things in talking with the building principals about this number was this was a cohort that would have been in preschool when we went through the pandemic. And we're in the process of looking to see how many of those students actually attended preschool at that time and you know what basically their background was. So we're going to dive there, but we'll put that number in more context as we go. But again, that column to the right, you can see, you know, how we went from proficiency from 1 year to the next.
Correct. Just a clarification. When I look, there's the grade level 3, level 1, 9%. And then I look in 2024, it's now 11. Mm-hmm. But that grade 3, 9, and 23 is really grade 4 now, 24, correct?
That's correct.
It's 9 to 3, not 9 to 11.
That's correct. So,
okay.
So, and I'll show you the... as we go through this, and that's what I was saying. So there's a horizontal way that we'll look at this, which is this slide. And again, that's just the grade level, so that's different cohorts from one to the next.
So the 14%, it's not really relevant it represents the class, two different classes, how they perform.
Correct. And okay. I'll, as we get to that slide, I'll show you how that cohort progresses as we go. You're welcome. This next slide is comparative with all levels. So this shows us our percentages at each level in 2023 and 2024 and how it compares to the state level. So for example, if you look at all the way to the left, level 1, 2023, the district had 10% of the students score in the 1 range, which is not meeting expectations, while the state level, one block over, was 20.7%. So I'm not going to take you through all of these numbers. There's a summative slide where I'll kind of show you how this all connects. This is the same slide for level 3, approaching expectations, and level 4. You can see the numbers there, and again, for each category and how they match up to the state levels. And one of the things that you can see, again, if you're reading this horizontally, is that there's progress in most grade levels as it compares to the state percentages. And finally, this slide is just level 5. This is exceeding expectations. So what you can see in 2023 for grade 3, we had 2% of our students reach level 5, while the state average was 5.3%. We had 0% last year, or 6.4% for level 5. Some of the other grade levels, you can see some different information. If we take a look at grade 4, and this is one of the highlights that we'll get to. In grade 4, 2023, 13% of our students in that particular year in grade 4 were 13% were level 5. If you take a look at level 5 in 2024, that number went to 32.5%. So again, we're showing some progress there. And this is also our first year as we move into the Great Minds literacy curriculum. So to put in perspective, to kind of sum up, so as you get to this slide basically shows the differences that we have in proficiency as it relates to the state. So if you look at the far right number, what we see if we look at grade level 4, for example. The changes in grade levels 4 and 5, which measures proficiency, we improved by 13%. If you go to the changes for the state, one column over, it actually, the state percentage went down half a percentage point. So we outperformed the state significantly in grade 4. In grade 5, again, our proficiency level went up 12%, where in the state it only went up 9%. We had a dip in sixth grade that we'll talk about as we move forward. But those percentages are, again, reflective of how we've grown from 2023 as opposed to the state growth. This just measures our proficiency as it goes from 2023 to 2024. Now, this is an important slide because what this shows is, again, this will also show our cohorts. So what you can see, for example, is our proficiency in 2023, 60% in grade 3. If you go diagonally down to the right for those students in grade 4, that 60% proficiency goes to 82.5. So if you take, again, the grade level on the left in 2023 and go down and to the right, you can see the progress. And in some grades, we saw a little bit of a backslide, not much. In terms of how they went. So this is an important slide because, again, you show horizontal progress and you also show the progress, or you show the path of the different cohorts. And finally, this is a snapshot of 2024. So where we were is our district. These are our district scores in terms of proficiency. These are, again, combinations of level 4 and 5. So we see we were 34% in grade 3, which we just discussed, as opposed to the state average of 43%. As we go down from there, 82% in grade 4, which, you know, we totally, you know, easily exceeded the state proficiency level of 50.8. And as you go down, you can see how we compare as we go. One of the things that I wanted to point out, as we get to ninth grade, our proficiency rate was 74.1% as opposed to 58 for the state. And I just wanted to compliment ELA, or English teachers at the high school. We all know that ninth grade is an important year, and as we transition students from not just the elementary school, but from the other sending districts, the idea that our teachers, you know, come together and really, you know, get our kids prepared and on the same page, they're succeeding at a very high rate. So that's really a highlight for the testing. As we go to the subgroups, this again breaks down how specific subgroups performed on these tests. Anywhere where you see less than 10 students, the state tells us that we can't report out of them, so there's no numbers there. One of the things that I wanted to point out, let me see if I have this here. Okay, when we get to, this was a question that a focus that we've had in the last couple of years. So when we get to the former EL students, these are students that have exited the ELL program. One of the things that I wanted to show was the numbers in parentheses there are the percentages from 2023. So the reason I put that, I wanted to show that, was because what we've seen is a significant movement from students who did not meet expectations to partially met expectations into the approaching expectations category. So we're seeing a lot of movement there, and that's really a credit to where we've come with our ELL program. This is also a report, so this is the subgroups broken out for the high school. And again, that less than 10 students, we don't report out on that. And our IEP, students who have IEPs and 504s, obviously are supported by the modifications, and also our child study team and our class support teachers for as they go through. Okay. So as we move on to math, this is just another slide that indicates enrollment. You can just see the differences there. Also, as you get into Algebra 1 and Geometry, we broke that out into students who were enrolled in Algebra 1 or took the test in Algebra 1 Geometry by high school, and also those students who are taking those courses in the elementary school. Excuse me. So again, this slide breaks down our percentages by district and by category, as well as how we performed in 2023 and 2024. So again, you can see some of the progress. Again, these are, you know, if you read this horizontally, you can kind of see where we, the progress that we've made. And one of the things that we're starting to see is at the elementary school, we're starting to see a lot of the benefits from our Ready Math program and our you know, our teachers using the MyPath assessment as well. So this is the breakdown for level three and level four. And again, this is comparative to the district and the state numbers. And finally, level five, which is exceeding expectations. And obviously that's where we want our students to go. So one of the things that you can see here, again, if we're going horizontally, if you take a look at the cohort for the district in grade three, we had 10% of our students in 2023 that exceeded expectations. In 2024, we doubled that percentage and we're at 21.3. We also went from 2% to 12.5% in fourth grade. So you can see at the lower grades, we've made significant jumps in terms of moving those students, not just toward proficiency, but to exceeding expectations. And then this also is, this slide will also show you the differences, again, in total proficiency. So you can see on the far right, you can see that, you know, how we've progressed in terms of the change in level four and level five from 2023 and 2024. So that percentage, again, shows the progress that we've made in specific grade levels. One of the areas that we need to focus on that I wanted to point out to you, that's a number we want to look at, is our the geometry numbers. If you take a look at the geometry to the right, we saw a significant decrease in our progress. One of the things that I'll show you in an upcoming slide is we totally exceeded expectations last year. We still have a state average this year in terms of proficiency, but just to put that in context, that kind of shows just how well we did last year, but we did see a dip as we move forward. And again, this slide basically shows level changes in those specific areas, especially in levels four and five. And then again, this is really a comparison as to where we were from 2023 to 2024. So you can see we've made progress in some areas as we get to sixth grade. Seventh grade, we saw a little bit of a dip. Eighth grade, we saw a big movement. And then Algebra 1 stayed flat. And again, geometry is where we identified a need to take a look. And again, this is really our snapshot. So this is a 2024 perspective. So you can see the state average there. Again, at the earlier grades, we did very well. You see sixth grade, we had a 50% proficiency level, scores fours and fives, goes to 36%. As we get to seventh grade, 52 to 37, 55 to 19.5 in eighth grade. And again, if you look at the geometry numbers, we're still right at the state average. So the dip that we saw from our cohort in 2023 to 2024, we're still achieving, we're still meeting the state level, but we can also, you know, there's some other things as we go to our subgroups, again, this is just representative of where we are and how they performed. We don't have numbers from 2023, so this is, again, just a snapshot from 2024. And we can also see, if we go to the former EL, again, the students that have exited our ELL program, we have movement, again, towards, and again, I don't have the 2023 numbers, I apologize for that, but the 22% that we have approached expectations is a higher number than we had in years past. You can also see that with the students who left the program, we had 33% of that cohort meet expectations. So we're moving in the right direction. Again, this is our other subgroups. And just a couple notes. So some students in grade eight participated in the Algebra 1 assessment in place of the grade eight math assessment, and thus the math eight outcomes are not representative of total of everyone in grade eight as a whole. and our percentages don't necessarily round out to 100, don't equal 100 due to rounding it at some points. And the last test that we want to look at is the science test. And again, that occurs in grade 5, grade 8, and 11. This is the enrollment data for that. This test is scored differently. This is scored on a 1 to 4, with a 1 being below proficient, 2 being near proficiency, a 3 being proficient, and a 4 advanced proficiency. We also report out the numbers a little differently than the other test for some reason at the state. What you can see is, again, just our percentages in terms of the progress that we made between 2023 and 2024. So in grade 5, we had 4% less achieved at the proficient level. In grade 8, we went up 3%, and then in grade 11, we dropped 12% in terms of one to the next. And then this is our breakdown again for each level. This is level 1 and level 2. Level 3 and level 4. And again, our goal is always to move toward exceeding expectations, or in the case of the science test, advanced proficiency. This is our science subgroup data. And this is, again, this is reported out a little differently, so this is at the district level. These are our IEP and 504 students, as well as economically disadvantaged. And as we kind of sum everything up, and some of these points I made through the presentation, some of the highlights that we wanted to focus on was in grade 4, we got 32.5% achieved a level of 5, scoring exceeding expectations. That cohort of students had a 60% proficiency in grade 3 ELA in 2023, and increased to an overall 83% proficiency in grade 4 ELA. So that's outstanding progress. Our grade 8 ELA, there was a 14% increase in the number of students who achieved a 5 in score comparison to level 4. So again, moving into that exceeding expectations. And in 2023, the Hispanic or Latino subgroup at 19% met expectations. And in 2024, this subgroup increased to 26% of meeting expectations. Moving into the high school, grade 9 ELA achieved 74.1% proficiency, bringing together students from all sending districts. We exceeded the state average there. Our grade 9 ELA outperformed the state in all identified reading and writing standards. And that's really an important point. One of the things that we do when we look at test scores, we get reports that are specific to grade levels and subject areas. So when we get those reports, we can see specific standards that students exceeded and certain areas where we need to concentrate on. So supervisors and principals and myself, when we meet with teachers, we don't just show them the scores. We show them, for example, well, you know, you did very well in writing, but, you know, reading comprehension or, you know, figurative, you know, studying figurative language, that may be an area that you want to look at. So when we schedule professional development and we talk about curriculum writing, those are the areas that we focus on. Our Algebra 1 increased overall proficiency percentage in 2024 as well. And moving forward, these are the things that we have in place, and these are all the initiatives that Mr. Goodall has talked to us about in terms of moving the district forward. Not just with our testing, but in our overall instruction. So regularly meeting professional learning communities, our PLCs, where teachers in common grade levels and departments will be provided time to review assessment results. And again, not just these results, Tibbles results, learning records, iReady diagnostics, the NJSLA, et cetera. We continue to employ the ReadyMath platform and iReady MyPath function at the elementary school. Provide individualized remediation and enrichment opportunities in math for students grade through 8. And in K-8, our tier 2 and tier 3 interventions, we utilize tools in iReady to support intervention through process monitoring. Now, teachers are constantly looking at data, and the iReady platform gives us, through benchmarks and through MyPath, it gives us specific information on each student's, and that also impacts instruction, and it also impacts how our teachers group our students in small group instruction, which is a powerful tool as well. Utilizing literacy profiles to effectively communicate progress and assist teachers in differentiated instruction, Our math teacher is pushing into colleagues' classrooms to support regular small group instruction and lower student-teacher ratio. So when we move into small groups, we provide support for our teachers so that each of the small groups, you know, have support in identifying, you know, the different topics that the teacher assigns to them based on their strengths and weaknesses. INRS weekly meetings and updates to review student progress. As we talk about grade three English language arts, we really looked at this data closely because that number really jumped out at us. So if there were specific things that we're doing with the grade three English language arts, Ms. Walsh, our supervisor of instruction, provided summer professional development hours that worked with teachers in grade three to unpack the new English language arts standards. As we talked about, the state in 2023 put forth new standards in English, ELA and math, that we revised our curriculum based on that. Teachers worked in grade level cohorts this summer to develop daily small group targeted lessons based on the end of year data. Additional interventionalist hours this summer with supervisor instruction to analyze student data and plan for small group instruction daily in all general education classes K through 4. So this was all work that was done in July and August to prepare for instruction and specifically for those cohorts that needed support. With remediation, basic skills intervention, with progress monitoring, we have our extended school year program that we run in July, our summer skills program, our professional learning community analysis of performance data, that occurs weekly, coordinated professional development sessions within content areas and sending districts. So that's another thing that we've talked about over the last couple of years, when our teachers, our math and ELA teachers, you know, they meet with Deanna Potoski, who brings sending districts together. They talk about small group instruction. They talk about data, you know, from student learning. So that's a collaborative piece that's really powerful for our teachers. In terms of enrichment, we've totally overhauled our gifted and talented program. We're very proud of the progress that we've made in that area. We have our Algebra 1 Bridge class, ESL summer program, and field trips, which has been well attended, and we've done a good job there getting students involved. At the high school, our AP classes, our honors classes, our learning labs, and meet at lunch for remediation and enrichment. And also in MHS, our math department, the PDP, the professional development plan that we developed for our math teachers, identifies needs to develop instructional opportunities and assessment questions aligned to the NJGPA and NJSLA. So that gets back to the data that we draw from these tests. We drill down, we look at specific standards. There are points where Mr. Murin has organized assessments or moved certain units to a front of a semester, or he's, you know, restructured curriculum based on what we need to focus on, where we need to move our students forward. All K-12 math curricula has been updated to meet the 2023 NJSLA standards. Unit lunch labs are available again for math, science, ELA, and study skills, and our high school math will be undergoing continued review and revision of scope and sequence in core classes during the 24-25 school. So a lot of information, of course, here. But so what we really wanted to do was not just show numbers to you, but A, show progress, B, be, you know, obviously upfront with where we think we need to improve, but also, you know, this information drives us in so many areas in terms of curriculum writing, instruction, professional development. And we're very focused on key areas, and again, we're really proud of the progress that we've made in certain areas. But there are also other areas that we're, you know, we're really looking to dive in and do good work, because our teachers do a great job, and you know, our professional development has been pointed in all those areas. So I appreciate your attention through probably the longest presentation of the year. So
thank you for putting all that together. And it's mandated. Ideally, we'd love to break that down, but we know it's mandated from the county office and the state. So thank you for putting all that together.
And if there are any specific questions that anyone has, you know, in terms of any depth of this, I can put that together for you, you know, and get that information to you. So.
Any questions for Mr. Capola? Mrs. Semino, our Director of Special Services.
my state report. I'm going to do a department update first. Hi, everyone. Just want to update you a little bit about the special ed department. I'll talk a little bit about CPAG, which is our special ed parent advisory group, professional development, and unified sports. So I've been, since I came on last year, meeting with CPAG. We continued meeting over the summer to kind of talk about ways we could involve the community more. We've met with Mr. Goodall, very receptive. We have meeting dates up on the calendar. This year we did have a back to school night, so we met 30 minutes before back to school night started. We actually had a really nice turnout. Parents that have not typically come to CPAG were there. I think that was a really nice way to talk about what CPAG does and in an atmosphere where we might not have captured those parents. We do have an IEP workshop planned for the 13th, and then we did this last year, we did in February, we did a transition meeting. We focused last year, I think we did 8th to 9th grade, and then we also had something with transition services, DDD, for our 19 to 21 students. I think we're gonna separate those nights this year, and I'm gonna work with Mrs. Kenny, and we're gonna do something together for our CLI students and Academy students. And then our spring is to be determined. We have some ideas, but I don't wanna give those away yet, but I think there are some things we're looking to do, working with possibly the Manasquan PD. They did something last year that we kind of liked, and we were hoping to partner with them for our spring meeting. Professional development has been ongoing. I'm really excited for Dr. Tinkin to come aboard. Right now, for this year, we're focusing with the elementary school staff, focusing on IEP writing. We actually met today to start that. We're breaking apart the IEP process, kind of tying that in with what we're doing with CPAG, as well as the teachers. In the high school, we're focusing on strategies when working with high school students that can look a little different than our elementary school staff. In high school, we're looking at not just academics, but we're also looking at emotional well-being. So some of those strategies when working with students who might have those, who might also have those as part of their disability. Paraprofessionals have a plan for this year as well. We're focusing on de-escalation, and this is a picture actually from our PD day with Ali Beleza. She's our contracted BCBA who worked with the paras on prompting and fading when working with students, and helping to foster independence, which is, you know, primary goal when and if a student has an instructional assistant. And unified sports, we are working to promote social inclusion through sports. Dr. Dakota and I are working together on this. For this school year, for 24-25, we're going to pilot an internal program. We're looking at winter being soccer and then spring track and field. And I know I also had some experience working with the Special Olympics and unified sports in the K-8 realm. And I think Dr. Kokoda had experience in the high school. So hopefully together we're going to come up with something that will benefit the majority of our students. And then for 25-26, we'll look to register with Special Olympics and formally utilize unified sports. And also Mr. Goodall has experience.
Can you just give a little definition of what unified sports are, if they haven't been familiar with it in the audience?
So it's a sports program that will work with our general education or non-classified students who would kind of be mentors or peer models and buddies for our classified students looking to be involved who might not be able to participate in the sports programs that are offered at Manasquan. Even though we do have some students who, you know, in our academy and CLI program who do attend those sporting teams or events, but they're not always engaged as much as they could be. So this program would look to help with that. And it would also actually, kind of like when we're teaching, sometimes we do like a pre-test and then we give the test and then there's a post-test. Unified sports can kind of sometimes act as a pre-test. So if we're doing soccer, you know, they can be part of that and see what the game is like, and we would have a buddy who can assist with that. And then maybe if they do become, you know, I think you have swim,
track.
And track. Track is really probably the best example then. So maybe being part of the unified sports with a buddy and a mentor and someone who can help assist in that, and then maybe when they do track and field for the school, they'll have a better idea of what they're doing. And we're trying to utilize the sports a little bit on the off season, like the off time of when they actually occur at the high school. And that's it for my update, but do you have a report?
Any questions?
I'll do the DLM after.
You can do it right now.
Sure. Is it keep clicking?
Go back.
Well, I'm going to talk about the DLM. It's the Dynamic Learning Maps. It's an alternate assessment for our students with significant intellectual disabilities in grades 3 through 8 and 11. It's given in language arts, math, and science, science being the same as the NJSLA 5, 8, and 11. These assessments were administered for identified students by the child study team and the teacher last spring of 2024, and it focuses on essential elements. When it comes up, I can show you. It has four categories: emerging, approaching the target, and advanced. Similar to NJSLA, but slightly different. The results for our DLM are not as widespread as our NJSLA. We only had 3 students take it.
One of the other things that I think is important is that the NJGPA that the students have to take in 11th grade is the most popular one. And so every year we kind of are talking about exactly who is supposed to be taking this test. And really the state guidelines are that you have very few students taking the DLM.
Yes.
So, you know, in years past, more students were taking a DLM and less students were taking the actual standardized assessments. And now the push is for students in ESL, in special education, at all levels, are sitting and taking and, you know, hopefully meeting proficiency with the standardized test, which is why our DLM, you know, is a smaller population each year.
It is. It's really, there's very specific criteria for taking the DLM, and some of that criteria is based on intellectual disabilities. There are 4 questions that the child study team would need to ask themselves when determining whether or not the DLM is appropriate. And I think the less students should be, you know, if students can answer one, and this is like a brief synopsis, but in theory it says if you students can answer one question on the NJSLA or NJGPA, they should be taking it. So it's not a bad thing to have low numbers for this testing group. So we did have 3 students take it. 2 of those students in the elementary school, one was at target and one was approaching target for both ELA and math. And then our 11th grade student who took it was approaching target for ELA and at target for math and science. And then some of the interventions to support learning for the DLM would be, you know, when the teachers would talk about ambitious but attainable goals being developed for their IEPs, instruction conducted through direct instruction in small groups, assignments broken down into short sequential steps, sequential structured and multi-sensory approach will be utilized, and more specifically in ELA might be books on tape, large print, or large spaces, graphic organizers. In math might be graphing paper or strategies, manipulatives, and then in science it might be mnemonic devices or materials presented in smaller units. So this is, again, is for our most severely classified population. And that is it for me.
Any questions for Mrs. Semino? And now Mrs. Kent.
Just
So I don't have a question. I just want to thank you for your work with the CPAC group and to keep it going where it's something like really productive and really helpful to the parents every time.
Thank you.
It's really a service, and to the extent you can use the Manasquan community to support that, it's really important that that group is robust and they have that space, and you've kept it going now for a while.
Thank you. They're a great group.
So in terms of the school counseling office, we've been very busy. I actually wanted to go back and kind of do things in chronological order from when really August started, August into September. And so, you know, once the schedule started to come out in August, it's really our school counseling staff on both sides of the street really started to, you know, we're essentially working full time. So as we started the year in the elementary school, if you haven't already passed by in the morning, you may or may not have seen Miss Harmony with a microphone and music and singing and, you know, all sorts of, you know, exciting things for the students.
Bubbles
for the students. I mean, she has been presenting lessons since the very beginning of school. The curriculum is called Overcoming Obstacles. So she's going into third grade classrooms every week for a total of 12 weeks just to start. She's been in classrooms already and really working with the students to kind of, you know, do different types of conflict resolutions, problem solving, respect. So she's starting off the year with that. The students get really, really excited whenever they have her come in. And it kind of correlated to the week of respect. So for example, in the picture that everybody was wearing gold. I think that last week, you know, having had the week of respect, it was really important to kind of tie that in. So, you know, Ms. Harmony, in addition to, you know, working with students individually each day, working with small groups, doing a lot of outreach and support with students with 504 plans, with IEPs, you know, this is another part of the things that we've been doing with the lower elementary school since the school year started. In the elementary school, additionally, we have Mr. Sinelli. So every year he has been partnering with a different type of a program. This year he's going to be partnering, has already started partnering with the Samaritan Center. Really the goal is to work with middle school students and really kind of, you know, to talk about the importance of social media etiquette and safety. All of these have kind of built upon the last couple of years that he's had programs come in. One year it was Lead You, about decision making. The year prior it was called KYDS, Conscious Youth Development. And so all of these programs that he's been working with students on are also community based. So we're kind of building a network of students that, you know, when they have these meetings and when they get together and work in these groups, they also have the support on the outside if parents want to continue. Last Thursday night, Ms. Feliski, our freshman counselor, and Mr. Sinelli, our eighth grade counselor, did our eighth grade parent night. Eighth grade parents are already, you know, planning and thinking about the following year as freshmen. We do have our open house for eighth grade high school. Eighth graders going into ninth grade, we have that on this Thursday. But in addition, Ms. Feliski goes to each and every one of the sending districts. So those meetings have already been taken place over the last couple of weeks in the evening. That gives the parents the opportunity to kind of, you know, meet the counselor, have an idea of exactly what the Manasquan programs are, because we know how wonderful they are, but we want to make sure that the sending districts and everybody that we go out and speak to also understands. In addition, with Mr. Sinelli and Ms. Lisby, they are continuing to work on the Community Warriors program. So every year they're going to pick additional sixth grade students, and basically they have a panel, you know. So the Community Warriors are students who really are kind of, you know, empowering and taking the lead on culture and leadership and mental health awareness. And so we're putting these students in a position to not only be part of the group, but almost, you know, kind of take leadership similar to what we have here when the high school students start to really kind of, you know, grow and evolve and determine what, you know, what types of things they want to really, you know, show impact for. Ms. Mulroy and our ESL team, I know that the students before talked about our Hispanic Heritage Night. Every single year since, you know, since I've been here for the last, you know, 7 years, it continues to get bigger and better and, you know, even more exciting. The students, you know, spend the evening. There's, you know, there's music, there's food, there's just so many wonderful things. It really has the whole community, you know, invested, and has the whole community that's able to come in and kind of really just be able to see what type of, you know, culture and diversity we have in the community, and it was really a way to kind of, you know, celebrate the Hispanic Heritage Month. The following week, Miss Mulroy, our counselor, she also spent time, she hosted a night with the help of Mr. Place and the technology department. We did have a parent technology night so that all of our students, our parents of ESL students, had the opportunity to come in to meet with Ms. Mulroy. We had students from the National Honor Society so that they were able to kind of go through all of the many, many forms that you get as a parent on the parent portal and really make sure that we have all the students set up. They know exactly, you know, where to look for important documents, and they know who to contact for different supports. So it's been very helpful for us. In the high school, we welcomed 220 freshmen this year. It's the class of 2028. The first day of school was a little different for us because the first day, it's been a half day for the freshmen for the last couple of years, and that's been wonderful because it allows the students to come into the building, you know, by themselves and have the opportunity to walk around and take some time to kind of get to know their teachers, navigate the building without sophomores, juniors, and seniors here. We built upon that this year and also did the barbecue and our activities there on that very same day. So it was a half day for students. They met their teachers. They had, if they had questions, they needed to speak with the counselors. They did that in the morning. Then they went to their classes. Then we finished outside on near the tennis court with our activities fair. And it was the most well attended. All of the clubs and activities were there. And we were able to get a lot of the upperclassmen and the students that were part of those clubs and activities available to talk to the students coming in. So after that, our senior parent night was held. So each year before back to school night, we like to get the senior parents in because the students are already applying to colleges, you know, as soon as sometimes August. So it's our goal to make sure that we are giving the most information to our senior parents and helping them guide, you know, not just them, but their students or their children through the college process, because we know it could be a very stressful time. And always kind of taking a look at what our schedule looks like and how this college application process is changing. We always are looking to add and enhance what we do. We started doing drop-in sessions. So Tuesdays and Thursdays of every week, you know, beginning, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago, any senior who has a very specific question, who wants to meet with their counselor, who may not have, you know, thought about a question up until that morning, or they're just looking to finish something on an application, the counselors are available during the lunch period for drop-in sessions. So this is just giving the students another added time frame that they can just, you know, go in, meet with the counselor, and, you know, get information. Sometimes the students, if they're busy after school or if they're in their classes, they're not doing their applications until they get home. So this has allowed them to come in, ask questions, and proceed through the process. One of the things that we really worked on last year was our Warrior Wellness Lounge, in the lower level, we like to call it. This is essentially where all of the students, we have our three social workers at our house downstairs, and really during the lunch period and by appointment, any student who, you know, may be struggling, may need some additional support, you know, wants to talk to somebody and receive, you know, enhanced level of care, can speak to any one of our social workers at all times. Additionally, we had our annual college and career fair. That was just last week. We had a good turnout of colleges. We also had, you know, members of the military. We had three salon professional academies. We had service academies. So it was a really good turnout for a lot of our colleges. Then we followed it up this last past week with the PSAT test. So the PSAT test was definitely a group effort. You are giving the test to 9th, 10th, and 11th graders. And then the seniors had the infamous Swan Dog Mania. Dr. Kokoda had to take the lead, cook the hot dogs, and the students, the seniors really get excited for that. That gave us the opportunity to administer the PSAT to the freshmen, sophomores, seniors. Because it's all digital and because there's all the planning on the front end, it did go very smoothly. But again, it's a new platform, so really making sure our teachers were trained to be able to give the assessment took a little bit of time. We just recently, last Thursday as well, hosted our virtual financial aid night. And that was a virtual, we decided to do a virtual meeting. It worked out much better because I think we've had 45 families actually RSVP and over 60 wound up joining. So I think by doing it online, it gave the opportunity for students and parents to just kind of, you know, log in a little bit more seamlessly. Again, we are always taking a look at the timing of this because the financial aid is based on the FAFSA, and the FAFSA does not open again until until December 1st. So this was kind of a pre-meeting for a lot of families to kind of, you know, start thinking about what financial aid looks like. And then today, October 15th, was our very first deadline for college admissions. So every year, it used to be, you know, November 1st and then December 1st. So there's a decent amount of schools right now that have October 15th deadlines to receive an early action decision. And so I just thought the data was pretty remarkable that we already had 65 students, and of those 65 students, they sent a total of 433 applications to 124 colleges, and that's by October 15th only. So every year we're starting to see more and more students kind of make their list, take a look at their list, have the idea of, you know, what schools they want to go to, and start the application process a little bit earlier. So that's what the Office of School Counseling has been working on. And then I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on some of the things that our students in the Academy and the CLI buildings have been doing. If you look on the left-hand side, Remy is so busy. She goes on walks all day long. She is really, really spending a lot more time with the CLI students in the CLI and the Academy building, and it's been absolutely wonderful. The elementary school has now, you know, been able to kind of, you know, take Poppy a little bit more, so now they're kind of enjoying Poppy. The latest I heard was that the students in the elementary school are looking to make merchandise with Poppy and Remy's pictures on it that they can, you know, design and sell for profit. So
this is growing out of control.
this is what's happening. I mean,
and just so everyone knows, tomorrow also is going to end. Mrs. Kenny, if you don't know, Mrs. Kenny told me at the end of the day, the College of New Jersey's counseling and education program, someone's coming down to observe him, how he uses the comfort dogs.
Yes,
and
yeah, so it's been actually,
I don't know how they found out that we have them, but
they're famous. I mean, Poppy and Remy are famous. One thing that I think that we started this year, which was absolutely wonderful, our students in the CLI and Academy buildings once a month are going to Brielle Library. They're walking to Brielle Library, and then they read with therapy dogs. It's called the Bright and the Beautiful Therapy Dogs. For a lot of our students, it's really, you know, one of the most comfortable and, you know, enhancing days for them, because the students really do just love the animals. And at this point, they are able to kind of pair up one-to-one. So each student has a specific, you know, therapy dog that they can kind of, you know, circulate around and spend time with. Additionally, we have been practicing riding bikes, scooters, walking to the train, taking the train. One of the students, and I spoke to the mom before, I asked her if I could share, one of the students who is new to the program has lost, she said, 12 pounds and comes home every single day so tired that he goes to sleep and sleeps like a rock, gets up and is so happy. A lot of our students have really, you know, with the help of donations, we've taken, you know, as you can see, we have some, you know, tricycles, we have some scooters. The students walk to the train station to get on the train. Remy is now helping some of the students come back. Sometimes the students take their time. We got to move them along a little bit, so Remy gets them moving a little faster. So we've been really busy with just, you know, kind of enhancing the skills in the program. And then finally, we're back at the farm. It's Liberty Haven Farm. This is the second year we've been there. The students really do love spending time there. And again, we've gotten lucky because the weather has been so nice for so many of the days. If you have the opportunity to go past the CLI building, you'll see out in the back all of our volunteer service with the Fulfill Food Bank has been underway. So the students are not only visiting the food bank and you know, making care packages and stocking and restocking and delivering. But they're bringing the information back and they're bringing their skills back, and they are harvesting tomatoes and cucumbers and really working on, you know, the whole gardening aspect of it. So the goal is to have a lot more vegetables that we can sustain from the COI land, the crops, as they call it. So the students have been really busy and have done some exciting things. And then Fridays, their field trips, apple picking. They had to find another place for apple picking because all of the apples were already picked from one of the places that they were going to go. So we pivoted and we went to another place. They love that. Every year we go to the No Limits Cafe, and the students are able to work with other students with disabilities who are actually employed at this cafe. They are able to practice ordering their food, paying their own bills, and really kind of getting that experience. And then, you know, just taking trips each week to different places. The one on the left is Jenkins Aquarium. So they're busy. They've been busy and all exciting things.
So is the counseling department.
Busy.
Very busy. Thank you, Ms.
Does anybody have any questions? Or,
yeah. On the policy, I didn't hear you say anything about vocational schools or vocational programs. Were they offered in
so,
the college?
Yeah, so we had three different professional salon academies that came in. We had, he had the best setup again too. He was the local service. I'll get you that information, but he came back again as well. Our military came. We had the Departments of Corrections that came. So we had a significant amount of people who are now reaching out to us.
But not like car repair and welding and electrician and
not so much as coming out to do for the college and career fair, because a lot of our students that are in school are applying to the vocational programs, usually junior, senior year. But we do take them to the service day, so that's a bus trip. Last year, I believe Mr. Goodall took them. Every May, we're taking the students to the Expo Center, and that's where they're actually meeting all of the different members of the different units and service, you know, trades that way. So we
actually have the recruiting coordinator for the local iron workers. He's coming on Friday, right, Dr. McCo? Friday to talk to Mr. Graff's class and be here at lunch.
Yeah, so it's growing. It's definitely growing.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any final questions? That concludes the director's reports. Thank you very much.
Acceptance of minutes. I recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined Committee of the Whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of September 17, 2024. The executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Can I have a motion to accept and approve the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Pellegrino?
Mr. Voldemort?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Check?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. O'Reilly?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Harry?
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard? Would anyone like to be heard on items not on this agenda? Seeing no one, we'll move to the discussion items.
Okay, and we got a curriculum committee meeting.
So we had a curriculum committee meeting on October 10th. It was well attended by board members and members of the high school administration, high school and elementary school administration. Mr. Goodall gave an update on the Go Teach consultants. They will be gathering our assessments and setting up focus groups with staff, students, and eventually parents, and coming into the classrooms to do classroom observations. Those are the first steps. Mr. Coppola recapped the professional development day on October 9th. Staff was given the opportunity to select different technology module courses that they felt they needed to support in or were interested in. The staff was split up pretty evenly in those modules, as well as the staff did some mandatory training. There was also a sending district articulation during that same professional development day with the performing arts teachers from the sending districts, the high school, and the Manasquan Elementary School, primarily the band, choir, and drama staff. Mr. Coppola provided the results of the AP honor roll. The school district again received received a gold recognition, which is an increase from last year's, and that will be, the results will be presented at the November board meeting in more detail. The high school held an IB program presentation on October 9th that went into more depth from the one that was held on the back to school night. Dr. Kokoda observed that it was standing room only. There were approximately 60 teachers, parents, and students there, and there was a lot of discussion at the end about how the IB program would work. And then Mr. Murin presented on the summer course offerings and proposed two in-person math classes to be offered over the summer, one of them being honors calculus, which would, the purpose of that would be to get students ready for AP, to take AP Calculus BC, and the second being Advanced Algebra 2. This would prepare students for upper level math and to ensure they had a path to the prerequisites for the IB diploma program if they wanted to participate. And the committee did recommend that that be something that the school offer this summer.
Policy, Mr. Blase, no policies?
No policies.
Okay. Dr. Crawley, tis the season for budget for next year.
It is, finally.
exciting.
You'll see on the agenda, document L is the first board action as it relates to the budget for 25-26, the 25-26 school year. There's not too much at the board level that's going to be done right now other than the approval of the recommended schedule for which the budget will be developed. Before we meet next time, we administratively, Jesse, Rob, and I will meet with the department heads, roll out what the process is gonna look like, and give them all the information they need to put together their department budgets, which will then be returned in December. So tonight is kind of the kickoff event. We are, as you'll see, that document's on your agenda. If you have any questions about it, I'd be glad to answer, but largely it's just kind of the set the tone and set the timeline for what's going to go on for the next 6 or 7 months in my office.
Okay.
The second thing I wanted to address, finance related but more board related, is the 2025 Manasquan Board of Education board meeting dates. You received these dates in your Friday packet, and it is on to vote for tonight. The main difference from this year and previous years is that the meetings are proposed to be moved from Tuesday to Thursday. Is there any discussion regarding
that? Why? I mean, do we know why they would be moved and not, they don't look to be all the same week of the month, like the third Thursday or whatever. Do we know why we're moving this?
Well, one of the reasons, Mrs. Besson, would be to allow for more school business to take place during the week, and then we put it on the agenda for Thursday.
And then to answer the why it's not the third Thursday or second Thursdays is basically due to statutory requirements for passing the budget. There are certain dates that have to be met that don't allow for it to fall on a specific third, fourth, whatever that Thursday might be. Also, there's some holidays and breaks. So that's why it's proposed as written. We can pass it up until December, so it's really up for discussion tonight if there needs to be discussion, but that's what we're proposing for next year.
Was there a reason that we had to change it? Did I miss something? It's been Tuesdays forever. Wow.
Yeah, it has been Tuesdays. I plan my whole entire month around this meeting every month. I don't really, after 10 years of sitting here, don't really want to see a change unless it's like some mandatory necessity, but it's been Tuesday night for 10 years I've been here, and probably 15 you've been here. I'm not up for a change unless it's mandatorily required for some reason.
Yeah, the Thursdays are not certainly not mandatorily required. The dates we jump around, like I said, those dates that we don't have it on the third, fourth, fifth, whatever it may be, standing Thursday.
One thing that changed, like when we have spring break or something, we need to change, but I'm not really up for changing a night after all these years. Mm-hmm. If we don't have to, okay. I see what everybody else has.
Yeah, we definitely don't have to, but it's a discussion. Yeah.
The Thursday meeting does allow for the office to conduct school business.
I understand, but we've conducted school business on Tuesdays for
ever. We got it.
I think you'll get less attendance, especially with people who travel for business or whatever. People who are around Mondays can be around on Tuesdays. Then you get into the week and, Thursdays can be tough.
I'm fine with it. I checked the schedule against my stuff, so I'm good. But
what'd you say? I couldn't hear you.
Pardon?
I couldn't hear you.
I checked against my schedule. I'm fine with Thursday, so. But
I would like to see if he has
All right, so why don't we look at the calendar and relook at it, and then we'll propose something next door.
All right, so mechanically what we'll do is there's a poll activity on the table, when it's on the table, right? All right, so I guess the way we can affect it is when it goes on the table to be voted on, someone can make a motion to table it, and we can vote on table it.
But I mean, am I missing something? Like, is there a reason we wanted to move it?
Walking into the position, Tom, that we discussed how we could operate better, and it was just that certainly we can conduct more business if it was a Thursday.
Yeah.
We discussed it, and it was just proposed.
It's easier for the district office.
Oh, I get it. I mean, I know Tuesdays. Tuesdays are. I get it.
But if we want everyone here on Tuesday night, if Tuesday night is better for everyone. So that's what we'll adjust. That's fine, but we'll get a look at the dates, and we're gonna table it for tonight.
Yes. Right. So I mean, Alexis, if you want to make a motion to only approve those numbers, we won't even have to table it. We just won't even have it on the table in the first place. And then I'll edit the agenda, or I'll put together another proposed calendar, which we'll put in the Friday packet this week and each coming week before the next board meeting. We can largely hit Tuesdays, I believe, but I don't want to make promises without looking at the calendar. What I'll try to do is just move all these dates up to Tuesday each week that's currently on there.
Like I said, a spring break or a hearing on the school budget, if a day has to change, a day has to change once or twice during the 12 months, that's mm-hmm. one thing, but
yeah,
I'm not up for moving.
So those two are actually the two Tuesday ones already, but if all the other ones can just be moved to 2 days prior to what I proposed, without running into any kind of important date, I'll send that out, and we'll have that on. Like I said, it's not a huge rush. We have November and December meetings to approve the final schedule. So, the most pressing one is just that reorg meeting to get on everyone's calendar.
Understood.
Okay.
And Pete, we have some good news with some construction.
Good news with some construction. Jesse's gonna put up some pictures. The good news, we are starting to see some spaces in both schools get finished and are gonna be reoccupied within the week. This is probably the biggest bang for your buck one, which is the MES gym, which is it's beautiful. It looks just like the MHS gym when it was first opened, because it was specified to look identical. If you get a chance to pop in, it came out, I think, great.
It's beautiful.
It's, yeah. I got to imagine, the nicest middle school gym in the state at this point. There's one more angle. I did my best to get high on that, but if you want to stop in sometime and take a look, it's.
Did it increase or decrease the seating?
It's roughly the same seating in the MES. We talked about, we did have an alternate, just add some seating to the other wall, but in conversation with the principals, it just took up square footage, and they don't draw as big crowds out of the high school. So, but they are new bleachers. It's a whole new bleacher system, and that too looks beautiful and mimics the high school with the, you know, add on the end caps and curtains that cover up the hardware and things like that. So it looks great. We're excited about it. Also set to be reoccupied within the next week is the MHS band room, so another large instructional space that we'll get access to. They're working on some final flooring and plumbing down there. Contractors will be in and out of there over the next month or so to do some finishing touch work. They'll have some work to do in the bathrooms back there, but the classroom itself, the biggest part of the room is going to be open to the band students, which I think will be a boon for them and for the rest of the district to get access back to the auditorium that they've been on. Some other less visible items, but equally important items, is the boiler in the IA room, which is IA building, excuse me, which is going to be turned on in the next day. They were just here testing it today. It's going to be turned on and inspected tomorrow, so they'll have new heat throughout that building. We have a lot going on over teachers' convention, which is a couple weeks from now. But before we meet again, the solar interconnections are going to be made at the field house and half of the high school over that week. So we'll start to turn on that solar power system and generate that power through the solar arrays that were installed on the roof. We're also going to have up to 10 rooftop units installed over at the elementary school, 10 of 15, by Honeywell over teachers' convention. So two-thirds of that system will be new and turned on. As you know, all the distribution system, all the ductwork has already been completed by HS. Now we just need to go on top of the roof and use the mechanical systems, which is Honeywell's responsibility through the ESIP project. So the majority of that, hopefully weather pending, because it is crane work, is going to be done over the teachers' convention.
And they do all that, I forget the word it is, but they'll do it for two-thirds of it to make it operational, whatever, balancing, whatever it's called, they do an air conditioning.
Yeah, they'll balance and they'll commission it. It might not be balanced when we come back, but it'll be commissioned and largely operational. Yeah, and it's pretty basic work at this point because all the distribution's done. It's taking a crane, taking the old one off, putting a new one on. You know,
because last time they did it over there, they had all kinds of problems when they went to balance and commission. That's probably the most important part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly.
Screwed it all up last time.
Did they? When was that?
None of the. The instrument panel, you know, the
controls.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It never worked. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like 2 days.
Yeah, we made clear and we will reiterate to our construction management and our design team that, you know, nothing can be left with it. Obviously, we're coming back on Monday. It needs to be turned on and working by Monday. So don't take anything off the roof that you can't install. We'll phase it in, and I'll talk to them about, you know, take one off and put one on, then turn it on before you take the second one off. So at least we can maintain the majority of this of the old system that's working now. Any other construction questions? And then hopefully we're going to continue opening up rooms over the next month or so, and I'll have more good news next month.
Any construction question?
Any question at all?
When is the first game in the elementary school gym?
First game will be, I guess, probably after Thanksgiving. I don't think the basketball starts to learn. But they're excited to get back in, especially today was a little chillier. They've been playing in the backyard during gym class. They're excited to get back inside.
I read through and tried to understand these change orders, and I don't understand.
Numbers 30, what are they, 30?
Mm-hmm. 1 and 2. I don't understand any of the three. 30, 31, and 32.
Okay, so 31, how much should the change order is? 31 is pretty simple. It's a deduct change order. We took over the H&S demoed the floor in the science room that's not receiving the majority of the renovations at the high school, but it's set to receive new floor and lights. They demoed the old floor and weren't able to get the new floor in before the start of school. So we had to come in and install a temporary floor, which we did through a separate contractor and separate contract. So that's simply to remove the cost of that. That's the exact cost of what it costs for us to install a temp floor. That's just removing that from H&S's contract. So that's a negative number.
But what was the difference between what we paid for it and what they bid it at?
That's what we paid for it. We paid another company $15,092 to put a temporary floor in.
Right.
That was the responsibility of H&S to do.
Right.
We said don't. Well, we didn't say don't do it. They didn't do it by the time we had to get in. And,
but they only paid $8,000 to do it, right?
They paid nothing to do it. They paid zero. We paid.
No, the original. So that just comes off. The $8,000 in there just comes out.
Oh, I'd have to look at the schedule of values. But basically, we're charging them the damages we incurred, which was $15,000 worth of cost. It was, honestly, because of the timing of it, it was over the weekend. It was done on 24 hours notice. I'm sure that's well in excess of what their schedule of value shows it was going to cost to put a temp floor.
Sure.
Yeah. 32 is the change order. If you recall, I believe we talked about this at a previous meeting. The gym floor at MES, when it began to be installed, was being installed incorrectly. It was being installed in a straight lay pattern, when what we requested was a Boston garden lay pattern. That request was made to our architect and design team. We said to them we wanted it to look exactly like the high school, including the Boston square pattern. They, the design team, neglected to put that into the specifications. So they have chosen or said they will eat that cost and it was their fault, they'll pay for it. So that 32 is a change to H&S's contract to increase it by the amount that's gonna cost, which is $42,106. 30 is a design change order for Tkarsky Milliman for additional construction administration in the original amount of approximately $60,000. It includes a credit of that $42,000, which is why it comes in at 18. So basically, Tkarsky Milliman is paying us back the $42,000 that we have to add to H&S's contract.
But why are they asking for $60,000 more, if Michael?
For additional construction administration from the additional time that H&S has taken to complete it. Now, where that's going to be recouped is in liquidated damages and mediate. Well, that'll be discussed in mediation. So, because and including, there's also additional construction management from New Road Construction Management that's also going to be included. So at the end of the day, we're going to itemize all the damages that the district incurred due to the delays, whether it be installation of a temp floor, whether it be additional cost to Milliman, whether it be additional cost to New Road, and those are all going to be assessed as another change order for the contract, probably as well as our change order once we're through that process.
Yep.
Any final questions? Superintendent's report. We have an enrollment currently of 1,391 students. The high school has 917 students. Our elementary school has 474 students. Both schools were compliant with doing lockdown drill, fire drill. The high school September 19th and the 25th. Elementary school the 11th and 24th. The elementary school did a bus evacuation, and those were required, September 18th, 2024. And the high school did a high school bus evacuation on September 12th, 2024. In our harassment, intimidation, bullying monthly report, the high school had one documented incident and confirmed HIV incident. And the elementary schools, there were two reported, but not confirmed as.
What's a bus evacuation?
Well, you're required periodically to do kids exit out the back. We schedule in case of an emergency on the bus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that's the superintendent's report.
Okay. Can I have a motion for approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report? Mr. Polderman?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Check?
Yes.
Mr. Bibble?
Yes.
Mr. O'Reilly?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Manasquan general items numbers 14 through 20? Can I have a motion for 14 through 20? Mr. Boulderman, Mr. Catani, does anyone have any questions on 14 through 20? Okay.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need anything separated out on Manasquan Sending District general items numbers 21 to 35 and 37 to 41? Can I have a motion for items 21 to 35 and 37 to 41?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Catani.
Mr.
Any
Boulderman?
Questions? Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Check?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. O'Reilly?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone have any old or new business they'd like to raise? Can I have a motion to move into executive session?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Boulderman?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Motion to reconvene. Ms. Check, Mr. Pellegrino.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mr. Fasone? Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Check?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo? Mr. Milancevic? Mr. O'Reilly?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Can I have a motion on the Manasquan personnel item number 45?
Yes.
Mr. Catani, Mr. Serino?
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Marty?
Yeah.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie?
Can I have a motion on the Manasquan Sending District to items number 46 and 47? Mrs. Check, Mr. Pellegrino?
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Check?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. O'Reilly?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie?
I have a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Dibble, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.